Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency. Now, here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Mark Lasseter.
Good morning, everyone. It's not Randy Bergen. They get the third string in today. It's Mark Lasseter coming to you from the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency, and coming to you from live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. This is the Father's Day weekend, and we're celebrating the men who threw batting practice after work, hit volleyballs to us in the gym, shot basketballs with us on the weekends, walked 18 holes with us and helped us on our golf game, sat in the rain and watched us play ball. All of these things they did to help us. They were our first coaches. They were our dads. And they taught us more than about winning being the only thing. They taught us about character, perseverance, integrity, and becoming the kind of person others can count on. So today, as we start the Prep Sports Report, this show is dedicated to fathers in our world, in our lives, and we have a special guest with us right now, the legendary volleyball coach, Ann Schilling, and my dear friend. She is with us this morning. She's going to share a little story about a memory, her best memory of her dad, and we are so thankful that Ann got up this morning to be with us. Ann, good morning, and thank you for being with us today.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing better than I deserve, girl. Better than I deserve. We appreciate you being with us today. And tell us the story that you've got for us, and I really appreciate you doing this today.
Oh, Lord. Mine's kind of funny. I guess I was about 5 or 6, and we had a kitchen stool in the corner of the kitchen, and everybody in my family was in there, and I guess I was just messing around. I got my head stuck in the back. It had these metal, like, little rods going across, and somehow I got my head stuck in it. And, I mean, everybody, once they figured out what happened, they, you know, kind of started paying attention. Everybody started laughing. And my dad included, he started laughing. Well, then he realized that I really couldn't get out of the situation that I was in with the stool, so he ended up getting mad at them for laughing, and he went and got his toolbox and, you know, got me out from underneath the stool. But, you know, I mean, several pictures were shot, and it was just one of the that Ann Schilling has done in her childhood. So anyway, but that, you know, I didn't have my dad long, so I don't remember a lot, but that's one thing I do remember. He was always patient and always very kind, and like I said, he passed away at 10, so I don't remember a whole lot.
Right.
So.
Well, and anyway, if you got to thank, first of all, thank you for that. Well, I love stories like that. You know, we see our coaches, and we don't think our coaches are human half the time, you know, but we all grew up and did silly stuff, and you know, all have stories. If you're, here's a question for you. If your dad was listening right now, what's the one thing you'd want to thank him for?
Golly, for just, you know, just providing a house that was full, faith-filled, and, you know, he and my mom were, you know, Christians and you know, just taught us, about Jesus. And, I mean, that's the most important thing that parents can do is teach their children about Jesus and, you know, it's not happening in a lot of households, probably more than it should be. But, no, just the gift of God. You know, we didn't have a lot. We were, you know, middle class or maybe a little bit below. We needed, but, you know, they always provided, you know, but that's the one thing that sticks out to me.
Gotcha.
Is that.
And thank you so much. We're not going to keep you any longer, but we're going to get you on soon to talk about your volleyball team before the fall, and we look forward to hearing all about your summer and what you guys been doing and getting ready for kind of a new deal that's coming up this fall, and We'll get you on soon, but thank you for sharing with us.
Okay. Happy Father's Day, Mark, and all the dads out there. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you, girl. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
One of the best right there now. I'm just going to tell you, you know, she's Ann is a wonderful lady, and she's learned so much. I've learned from her watching her grow over the years and then facing the battle that she had to face with cancer, and she still faces it. But she, I've read some stuff on her when it first came about how it changed her life. And she's just an amazing woman, an amazing person, and we appreciate her being with us today. You know, there's something I kind of think that if we got coaches out there listening, or anyone for that matter, if you want to send a shout out to your dad, please feel free to do so and text us on our Boudreaux Cajun Grill communication line. And I'm looking for the number, Steve, and here it is. There it is. 251-343-0106. Just send a little text in to that number, to the Boudreaux Cajun Grill communication line, 251-343-0106. Give a shout out to your dad, or if you want to have some fun with it, if your dad has a dadism, you know, like one of those sayings, like my dad, I can hear him saying, I've heard him tell me, I heard him tell my brothers, I heard him tell my nephews, and when they were playing baseball, when they were batting, he would always say to every one of us, choke up. In other words, choke up on the bat. And that was his thing, choke up. And so if your dad has a dadism, please text it in, share it with us, and we'll try to read it out on the air and tell us a little bit. You can tell us a little bit about that in the text if you like. But today, this is all about Father's Day. And in the next segment, we're going to have Jeff Williams, a dear, dear friend of mine who I've known since the mid-80s. We met first in the 1980s at Benjamin Russell High School and coached together there. But Jeff is offensive line coach and boys golf coach at McGill-Tulin. And he is going to share a story about his dad, who I am honored to say that I know. I knew before he passed, and Jeff's going to share us a little story about that. We look forward to having Jeff on with us in the next segment. At 8:30 today, we're going to have David Green and Phillips segment with Catherine Spurgeon. She's going to give us some information today on Players of the Year. I've lost my notes, Steve. Imagine that. But I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. Catherine's going to come on in a little bit and talk to us about high school all-stars in our area. At 8:45, we've got Keith Smith, the head football coach at Snook High School, Snook Private School in Foley, Alabama. Keith, a dear friend of mine, whose dad, legendary coach in Foley, Lester Smith, also coaches there. And so we're looking forward to having Keith on. He's going to tell us a little bit about Snook High School and Snook football and what they do and what they're looking forward to and how they got to the point where they joined the High School Athletic Association. So we'll have him on. Then at 9 o'clock, you're in for a real treat. We've got Coach John Blackman, former head football coach at Leroy High School, Sylacauga High School, and Jackson High School. He is going to be on with us for our legendary coach. He's the second winningest coach in Sylacauga history behind the legendary Tom Calvin there at Sylacauga High School. So we're looking forward to having Coach Blackman on with us today and looking forward to hearing some stories about John. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. And then we'll wrap it up with the Grace segment today at 9:45. So we got quite a show, and I'm looking forward to going through all the show with us. And let me go over Catherine Spurgeon. Let me make sure I get that right, Steve. I found my notes. Catherine will give us the Alabama High School Athletic Association Radio Network Coastal Alabama High School Female Tennis Player of the Year, presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. So Catherine will be on us with us at 8:30 today. Y'all stay tuned. Come right back. We got Jeff Williams coming up next.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
All right, everyone. I'm glad everybody's back with us. I'm going to remind you now, you got the third stringer in here today. Rick Cleveland, our fearless leader, is had surgery this week, and we're all praying for him. He'll be back with us hopefully very soon. Randy is on assignment, in parts unknown, and so I got Steve Stanley here running the boards and trying to keep me straight. He keeps looking at me like, "Oh, Mark, don't say that." but we're having a good time here, and we're glad you're with us. I want to give a shout out to one of our sponsors, Premier Collision, locally owned and operated. It's an auto bodies place right here in Mobile, Alabama, at 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile, Alabama. They'll treat you like family when you walk in the door, and when you walk out, your car is going to look like it just drove it off the showroom floor. Chris Garris and his staff, folks, they're top-notch. If you have a problem with your car, if you're in an accident or something, make sure you give them a call at Premier Collision here in Mobile, Alabama. Today is Father's Day, and we are celebrating fathers and giving some stories and telling some things about fathers today. And we had Ann Schilling on, and she told us a great little story about her when she was a child, about her dad. And next up, we've got one of my dearest friends, and I say that wholeheartedly. Jeff Williams, offensive line coach at McGill-Tulin and boys golf coach at McGill-Tulin. Jeff and I had started coaching together back in, I think it was in 1986 or 87 at Benjamin Russell. And our friendship has grown over the years, and proud to have him here on our show today. Jeff, thanks for joining us, buddy. Glad to have you with us.
Mark, I appreciate you having me. I'm not sure I'd let everybody know how close friends you are with somebody like me, so...
Hey, that goes both ways, partner.
Jeff, hey, you're going deep in the bag getting John Blackman and me, some of his old timers here.
Hey, I like it, man. I'm an old timer. Which old timers got to hang together.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got Jeff. Jeff's going to give us a little story about his dad, who I had the pleasure of knowing years ago. And Jeff, take it away, buddy. Tell us what you got on your heart.
Well, Mark, there's three guys. I've been blessed with a lot of gentlemen who have poured into me and taken care of me. But, you know, my granddad was probably one of the best men I ever knew. You know, God-fearing, great man, unconditional love kind of guy. You know, I owe a lot to him. But my old man was one of those typical 70s, 80s, you know, hard-nosed. He grew up playing sports, fishing, hunting, teaching all those types of things. And I guess I'm talking about athletics. I remember when all the gentlemen used to take their kids to the game at the old Hantline Stadium there in Alexander City to watch Benjamin Russell games. And the men would all sit up there and watch. They'd sit right up under the press box, and they'd watch. And all the kids, we'd go run and play cup football in the end zone. And at halftime, they'd all let us come back up there, and they give you a dollar. And you go back, and that dollar back then would buy you a hamburger and a bag of chips and a Coke, and you thought you were king, you know. And then, but while we were eating the hamburgers, sitting up there, it was amazing to listen. Those gentlemen were sitting up there, and they're critiquing the coaches, but they're watching the kids and talking about the high school kids and talking. Of course, they talk a little bit about their days and stuff. And then when I started playing, I noticed my dad didn't sit up there anymore. And I started wondering. I said, he always stood in the end zone. And I and his favorite, you're talking about dadisms, his favorite thing to holler was, "Dang it, JT, you ain't blocking. Block somebody." And I, of course, and I always wondered, and as I've gotten to be a coach, I realized, you know, you see the game better, especially if you're talking about offensive, defensive line, and from the end zone.
Yeah.
And so he told me, he said, if the hole doesn't open, I know you didn't do your job, and I didn't, you know. So he was always down there giving me a little encouragement. And, of course, Pat McGill, our quarterback, every once in a while would help us. Hey, would you get your dad to be quiet and block somebody? And back in the day, we always, and this, they don't, they couldn't do it anymore, but if we won, we always ran back to the school. So you know about how far that is, about a mile. But you would have to go out that end zone, and I do remember my dad. He would always, you know, pat you on the back and say, "Good job, boy."
Yeah.
And, that would be it. I remember those as fond and as, you know, as I'll ever remember anything. And of course, you know, my life, I grew up, my mom and dad were divorced when I was young. And
yep.
I was blessed to have a coach who became a second dad to me, one of your best friends, Dwight Busby.
Yep.
And, he took me under his wing. He's the reason I do what I do. So, you know, when it comes Father's Day, I'm blessed, dude. I'm really blessed.
Well, buddy, I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate you, and I appreciate the rawness in that too, pal. Because I want to tell you something. Your daddy and your granddaddy did a pretty good job because you're quite a dad yourself. You've raised three fine, fine young men. And I'm so proud to call you my friend.
Well, I appreciate that, Coach. It's, you know, sometimes I look at those boys and think, I'm probably too tough on you, but that's what my dad did to me, so I'm hoping it works.
It will. You know it will. Them boys are going to all be successful. And I just tell you that they're very fortunate to have you as their daddy.
And we're all going to play golf this afternoon, if the rain lets us. So I'm excited about that.
They probably going to whip.
Coming down, we're going.
They're probably going to whip.
They're going to whip my butt. You know that.
All right, buddy Jeff. Thank you for joining us this morning, bud. And I love you, and appreciate you, and appreciate our friendship. And thanks for spending a few minutes with us today.
Brother, I love you, and I appreciate everything. You know, I can't call you a brother. A dad, but you've been like a big brother to me, and I'm blessed to have people like you and Busby and all them in my life. So I thank y'all and love you, bro.
Thank you, buddy. Take care, man. Have fun today. Tell them boys hello for me.
Will do. And give yours a big old hug for me.
I will.
See you, bro.
Man, what a story. And I love that stuff, you know. And I know exactly what he's talking about. Hamp Lines Stadium, for those of you who don't live in the Alexander City area, Hamp Line is the old stadium. It sits over there by the middle school, where the middle school, I think it's the middle school anymore, but when I first started coaching with Coach Savarese in 85, we played our games at Hamp Line. And the funniest thing was that sometimes you had to stop the game because there's a train that came – by, it was so loud when they blew the horn, you couldn't hear on the field. But thank you, Jeff, for sharing with us this morning. Again, guys, today is all about fathers and Father's Day. That's what this show is all about today. We just want to spend this show celebrating the men who spent time with us, throwing us batting practice after work, hanging out with us in the gym. I remember playing with my dad one time. My daddy was a pitcher, and I heard stories from my granddaddy and my uncles and all that about my dad was quite a pitcher, and he was famous for throwing a knuckleball. And he said, "Here, let's see if you can catch this knuckleball, son." So I said, "Okay." So I was about 10 or 12 years old, something like that, and I got down there with my little catcher's mitt, and he threw it. And I had my glove right here. Next thing I know, the ball hit me right on the kneecap. I never saw it. It moved and hit me in the kneecap, and he came running down there, and he looked at me, and he just said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Dad, I never saw it. I didn't know what happened to it." And he said, "That's the way it's supposed to work. Now get up and dust yourself off, and let me throw you another one." And so that's kind of the way things went. But, man, that was a lot of fun. But that's what today's show's about. If you like and you have a second and you want to send a text in, if your dad's got a dadism, text it in to the Boudreaux Cajun Grill communication line at 251-343-0106. Feel free to text that in, and we get a few texts in here in a little bit. We'll start reading them off and giving shout-outs to you. We got another segment coming up in just a moment. Green and Phillips. Catherine Spurgeon is going to tell us a little bit about the tennis, female tennis player of the year.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. There now, that's some good music. I love listening to that. And I'm so glad Randy and Rick are not here to give me eyeballs. You know, they usually look at me like, okay, Mark, here's your music. Anyway, welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, Thompson Tractor Sports Report, and we are so happy that you are with us this morning on this Father's Day weekend. And at this time, we have our good friend, Catherine Spurgeon with Green and Phillips, and she is here to give us the Alabama High School Radio Network Coastal Alabama High School Female Tennis Player of the Year, presented by Green and Phillips. Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
I am doing better than I deserve. I'm so glad it quit raining. At least it's not raining. I drove over here this morning and actually saw the sun. I was like, man, that's pretty nice, you know. So it's been a rough week.
Well, I'm super excited to tell you about the girls tennis player of the year. It is Gulf Shores Junior Teresa Moise, and she plays at the number one singles position, and she went undefeated throughout the 2026 season without dropping a single set.
Good.
She capped. I know. She capped off her remarkable year, unsurprisingly maybe, by winning the 6A state championship, which is her second state singles title in 3 years. Her Gulf Shores coach, Owen Corcoran, praised her focus and determination throughout the tournament. And again, maybe unsurprisingly, Teresa has also been selected to the 2026 AHSAA North-South All-Star Team, and she will represent the South this July in Montgomery. So we are wishing her lots of luck in Montgomery coming up soon.
That's fantastic. Not a single set?
That is just crazy.
It is, because all it takes is a couple of bad shots. A ball goes into the net. You slip, you know, whatever it could be. I mean, it could, and she doesn't drop one. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sets in a season.
We'll see if she can keep that going in July, keep her record.
That's right. That's right. All right, we got a question for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Summer travel season is here. What should someone know if they're involved in an accident while they're out of state?
Well, that is a good question. Very relevant to the season, of course. And I guess the most important thing to remember is really just to treat it like a regular accident if it were to happen here in Alabama first. So you're going to document the scene. You're going to get medical attention if you need it. Exchange information with the other party, as well as maybe any witnesses who were there. Have the authorities come out and file the accident report. I mean, it is worth noting that different states have different laws and insurance rules. So if you are injured in an accident while traveling, it is a good idea to speak with an attorney so you understand how those laws might affect your claim. Good news is at Green and Phillips, we have attorneys that are, licensed in several states. So we'd be happy to help. And a lot of times we can handle it. You know, it's not a problem. So please still give us a call, even if it happens somewhere else. Our phone number is 251-300-2000, and you can call or text that number 24/7.
Catherine, thank you so very much for being with us and taking time out of your morning to come share with us and recognize this young lady and the great tennis season that she had, and giving us some information that could help us if we're traveling this summer. We appreciate you being here.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Mark, and I'll talk to you next time.
Sounds good. Have a great weekend.
You too.
You know, it's you don't think about stuff like that when you take off and go on a trip. Like, you know, we're getting ready to go on our family vacation to Panama City coming up here in a week or so. And this is a, you know, talk about things that parents have done or fathers have done over the years. This is a family thing from my wife's family that started years ago, probably 40, 50 years ago, when Russell Athletic, Russell Corporation, when it was in its heyday, you know, it was in Alexander City, when my wife's father, and I think her, I'm not sure about her grandfather, but I know her dad worked at Russell most all his life. After he worked for Kimberly-Clark for a while, and then he went to work for Russell. But Russell closed down every year during 4th of July week. It was the whole plant closed down, and they cleaned everything, and they had companies come in, do all this stuff there at the, and it's a huge, that was a huge organization back in the day. But everybody went on vacation. Well, there was a place in Panama City called Camp Helen. And so most of the employees wanted to go there, and they would take their families and go down there, and they had, you know, paddle boats and piers and swimming pools, and everything was down there. This was back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and they would all go down there during that time because that's when everybody had vacation. And so over the years, when I got when Michelle and I got married, when I got into the family, we would go, and it was still 4th of July because everybody was still getting off at that time, 4th of July week. Well, as times change, you know, Russell no longer is there in Alexander City. It's moved off and sold out, and it's just different. But our family still goes to Panama City just about every now and then we change up and go. But it's her family, her brother, her mom, her father's passed, you know, that's a big absence in our house. Bobby was one of a kind. You know, her daddy was more of a friend to me than a father-in-law. You know, just one of those guys who could do anything, work with you, and just always had a kind word, always funny. And but we'd go to Panama City every summer, and so we're heading off there next Saturday for our family vacation, and looking forward to that. And it's kind of something that was started by Michelle's dad. And I think it was even started by his dad and mom before that. So that's kind of a neat family thing.
Family tradition.
It is a family tradition.
You were talking about daddyisms earlier. My dad, well, I give him credit, but it's something that derived out of my own fatherhood with my daughter. My daughter has a way of elaboration. Imagine that coming from a person in radio. So she would always tell everything except the most important detail. The one that hooked everything together, she would just somehow, I mean, she could build this story and go all the way around the truth, if it were, but never get right to the point. So one day I finally said, you know, Tana, my dad used to say, now it's giving him credit, and I had to come up with something. I said, you know what a myth is, M-Y-T-H, myth? She goes, no. And I said, it's when you myth the point. you have this. And now, as a dad, what's interesting is my daughter, who has three boys, oldest is 14, that's Zeke, and then there's Cass, who's just turned 10, and Leo's like 6. So she's starting to figure that out. And now my son, who just became dad to twins, their first weekend home, this first Father's Day for him. Yeah. So he's got, I'm sure he'll have stories he's going to be passing along whether he likes it or not.
No doubt. No doubt.
There are things that, yeah, my dad, yeah, it's just amazing how that generationally hands down, you know. And then my mom, you know, she'll do things a certain way, looking her dad. And I could just, have you ever gotten that moment where you say something and you could just see, if you had a mirror, you looked at this mirror, it wouldn't be your face saying it, it would be theirs.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do it too much. My wife turns around and looks at me and goes, "All right, Dwayne," which is my dad's name. And so, yeah, it happens. And that's a great part of family.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. And thank you for sharing that with us, Steve. You know, we got we ask, you know, coaches and anybody listening want to send in a text us, a note about your dad, shout out to your dad, a dadism, what your dad taught you.
A story,
anything. Text it in to us, and if we get a second, we'll share it here on the radio. It'd be a lot of fun to do. I think it'd be some really cool stuff, you know, and we're talking about dadisms. You know, here are some that I really think are good. You know, if you're at the ball, keep your eye on the ball. How many times you ever heard that one? Keep your eye on the ball. Hey, play until the whistle. Play until the whistle. Don't stop. Keep playing until the whistle. You know, and I remember my wasn't my dad so much. I think it was my uncle who loved Bear Bryant. Mm. And so if you scored a touchdown, you know, you'd say, act like you've been there before. That was Coach Bryant's favorite
thing.
You know, turn around, flip the ball to the referee, and don't make a big scene and that kind of stuff.
That ain't happening these days.
Not anymore, no. It's a little bit different today. But in the next segment, we're going to have Keith Smith is going to talk with us. He is the head football coach at Snook Academy in Foley. And they're about to start their first year in the High School Athletic Association, first year in 11-man football. They've been playing 8-man football. And Keith, a longtime football coach. He coached at Foley for years. His dad, also a longtime football coach at Foley, Hall of Fame coach. And we look forward to hearing Keith and talk with him a little bit about what's going on at Snook, how they got from where they are to into the High School Athletic Association and into the league now. And they'll be playing, Bayside Academy and Mobile Christian and Cottage Hill.
3A, how big?
They are probably a 1A school.
That's what I was wondering.
They're a 1A school. But in the new divisions of the private schools, they're in single A.
Okay.
And so single A kind of puts them all together. 1A through a 3A size school kind of puts them all together just simply because of the numbers. So anyway, we're going to have Coach Keith Smith will be on with us in just a few moments, and we look forward to having him here. Don't go away. Come back and join us. Then at the top of the hour, John Blackman on our legendary segment, and we look forward to having him on with us. So don't go away. Come right back and join us again on the Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Hayden Williams, Alpha Insurance Company. We appreciate our sponsors and all they do for us, and appreciate them helping keep us on the air so we can have people on our show, like this young man coming up, one of my favorite people, the head football coach at Snook. His name is Keith Smith, and he's one of the finest men that you'll ever want to meet. I can assure you that. And Keith, we're so glad to have you with us here today. Thank you for joining us, bud.
Well, thank you, Coach Laster. It's great to be with you this morning, and looking forward to spending some time talking to you.
Absolutely. First of all, man, I think I sent you a little, we talked about this a little bit on a text message last night. We're doing, today's day is all about dads and Father's Day, and I said something to you last night about, if you could share us a brief, one of your favorite brief memories about your dad, because another one of the finest people I've ever met, Lester Smith. Tell us one of your favorite memories.
Well, no doubt about that, and it'd be hard to pick just one. I know over the years for me, you know, I know that one of the reasons he's still coaching, and he's still my quarterback's coach at the age of 82. I know one of the reasons he's still in it is to be around me. But if I'm being honest, one of the reasons I'm still in it is to be around him. So yeah. He and I have gotten to coach together for a long, long time. And he studies film very much even a day. And as I say, he's my quarterback's coach. And every once in a while, the corner of my eye, I'll see a real pretty spiral and want to look around and see what player threw it. And it's him, my 82-year-old dad. And so he can still sling it. And I guess, you know, for me, you know, growing up, it was so much fun to tag along with him. And, you know, a lot of times people ask me, well, why am I still in it and still doing it? And I mean, it's been such a huge part of my life, and particularly the relationship I've had with him. There's such good memories. And he told a funny story at Barry Pennington's funeral the other day about the 1975 Williamson game, but I won't share that at this time. It wasn't really a personal thing, but I remember when I was 10 years old in 1977, Foley went undefeated and 10-0, and then I was a manager, a water boy, that next year in 1978. I can remember for that year, we rented a house behind the stadium. We were getting ready to build a house where they presently live, so I could walk back and forth from my house to the locker room, as I was over there all the time. And so I was walking home with him at lunch one day, and there was a girl that was driving by and stopped, and you know, everybody was always excited to see my dad and how you doing, coach, and all this. And this was the preseason of 77, and she said, well, coach, how y'all going to do this year? And he was an expert at poor mouthing and all that, and said, we'll be lucky to win a game. and so she said, she looked kind of disappointed and said, well, who y'all playing for homecoming? And I said, we're playing Williamson for homecoming. And of course, Williamson has had some great teams over the years, but we'd beaten them 40-0 the year before. And so she said, oh, Williamson, we'll at least win our homecoming game. And he just shook his head and said, I don't know if we can even beat Williamson. And so her going away so disappointed, but we wound up, we beat Williamson 40-0 again in 77, went undefeated. And I've thought about that a lot of times. And I guess another memory from that year is we went 10-0 and played Sidney Lanier in the playoffs, and great game, and one we felt we should have won and didn't. But remember, we didn't have schools. I got to hang out with him all day. And so I was there at the locker room, and hopefully I didn't distract him. But I remember we didn't go out to eat a lot back in those days, but he and I walked to the Dairy Queen for lunch. And it's just, you know, it's a fun memory just getting to hang out with him. And so I love that growing up and just being around him. And that's one reason, like I said, I'm still coaching, is to get to coach with him and spend time with him.
That's awesome, Keith. Thank you for sharing that with us. And that just warms my heart, man. That's awesome stuff. So we're going to talk to you today about Snook football. Tell us a little bit about Snook football, kind of how y'all got this thing going, and then the movement into the High School Athletic Association.
Yes, sir. Well, of course, I was at Foley Middle and Foley High School for 25 years, and if not for Snook, I'd still be there. I love my time at Foley Middle and enjoy that very, very much. But I had the opportunity to retire in December of 2014, and a chance to go to Snook and be a part of a Christian school, and getting to teach the Bible and all that was something that appealed to me greatly. And so I went there. I retired for 3 weeks and started at Snook in January of 2015. And I can remember some of my Foley Middle School friends kind of joking with me and said, yeah, in 2 years, going to start a football team there. And of course, I laughed. I didn't think there was any way that I thought I was done coaching. And but sure enough, that's what happened, pretty much happened. We had had a young man in the spring of 2016, one of our most popular students and one of the best young men you'd ever be around, that you know, had a dream of playing football. And of course, didn't have football. So he went to live with his grandparents in Mobile and go to school at Mobile Christian. But of course, he missed his mom and dad like crazy and missed our school. And so he came back, and that was a great day when he came back. But it got us thinking, you know, we want our kids to be able to stay here and be in a Christian environment and study God's word and all that, but we want to give them opportunities that other schools have. So our principal president, Thad Butts, had the vision of starting an athletic program and a football program, and he's been such a great leader for our school. He finished up his 15th year as the president and principal there, and does a fantastic job. But so, really stepping out on faith, we started an athletic program in the fall of 2016, and we made the decision that summer that, you know, we're going to start a football team as well. So we spent the summer and fall trying to get a schedule together and start an off-season program. And Folden Middle School was kind enough to let us, you know, bus down to my old stomping ground and let them work out some and this sort of thing. And so we footed the team in 2017, and we weren't in AHSAA or AISA. And so we played 9 Florida teams and a Mississippi team to field a schedule. And we were the road warriors. We had 7 road games, and we had 4 trips into the Eastern time zone that year. So, But anyway, that was kind of the start. And we jumped into AISA in 2018, and we've had our ups and downs over the years. And your numbers have been a big challenge, but we're going to be jumping into AHSA, as you said, and it's going to be a tremendous challenge for us.
Keith, we're running out of time, buddy. We're going to get you on again, okay? Because we need to hear. We need to talk more about this. We ran out of time. We appreciate you so much for joining us. We're going to get you on again real soon to tell us about the jump. Thank you so much, Keith. We appreciate you, pal.
Yes, sir, Coach. Thank you.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency. Now for Hour 2, here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Mark Lasseter.
Well, Randy Bergen's not here, and he is on assignment to parts unknown. Our main man, the leader, Rick Cleveland, is... had surgery this week, and we're praying for you, buddy, hoping you get better and get better real soon, and we'll be thinking of you. But they got the third stringer in here today, Steve. Got Mark Lasseter here running the show, and it's kind of scary. Steve's over here. His hair is sticking straight up. He's looking at me like, why did you say that? Please don't do that. And we're having a good time, though, and it's a Father's Day weekend, and we've really made a point today, and we will continue that This Father's Day weekend, we're celebrating men who threw us bat in practice, sat in the stands and watched us play basketball and football and volleyball and softball, sat through rain, sat through 2-hour and 3-hour tournaments. If you watched wrestling, you sat there all day long and watched tournaments. And they taught us that sports is more than about winning. It's about character, perseverance, and becoming the kind of person that other people can count on. And that's what this show's been about today.
And a little bit of elaboration on, I'm not doing what you said I was doing.
His hair is really not standing up. Anyway, we're having a great time here at the Prep Sports Report today. And at this time, we are in our legend segment. And our legend for today is a dear friend of mine who I met back in 1985 at Benjamin Russell High School. Coach John Blackman. John and I taught together. Our rooms were right next door to one another. He was teaching American history. I was teaching world history at Benjamin Russell. And so all those kids who walked through those halls, they gained a mecca of knowledge in history during those years. I just want you to know that, and I say that tongue in cheek. We had a great time getting to know one another. And a little history about John before we get him on here to talk. I remember our head coach at that time was Steve Savarese. And Steve made a comment that I've never forgotten. He said that he was telling a story about John. We were talking somewhere, and he said that John was one of those people who always wanted to learn, was always asking questions. And he said that's going to help John grow as a coach all throughout his career. And it did. John's the third winningest coach in Sylacauga history. He's won everywhere he's been, took Leroy and Jackson to to great heights, and they both, at all three schools, is very successful. And then the other night when I called John, I hadn't talked to him in forever, he started asking questions about what we do defensively and things about that. And that knowledge, that desire to gain knowledge is what carried John. And I just think he's done a fantastic job as a assistant coach and a head football coach. He's still coaching today at Sylacauga Middle School. John Blackman, thanks for joining us today, buddy. We appreciate you being with us.
Well, thank you, Mark, for having me on. It's an honor.
Well, buddy, we can't tell you how much we appreciate you. We're going to start at the beginning, all right? Let's go all the way back. Now, John is a Sylacauga Aggie. He graduated from Sylacauga High School in 1973, which means he's several years older than me. So we're going to get that clarified. He and Rick are both old men. I'm still a young baby. But he went on and graduated from Auburn University and started his coaching career at Randolph County High School. But before we kind of get to that, John, tell us about why you got into coaching. What was the deal? Why was it that's what you wanted to do?
Well, we always grew up, and I always grew up playing sports. I always grew up watching sports and listening to it. I mean, I can remember, as you said, I'm pretty old, so there wasn't a whole lot of games on TV. So I would listen to the radio, and I always grew up a big Braves fan, so I can remember listening to the Braves fan on the radio and college football. But I don't know. You know, Mark, I just love sports, and I just felt like I always wanted to be around it. And I knew the best way to do that as I got out of high school and was to be going to coaching education. And so I went into education when I was at Auburn. Like you said, got my degree in physical education, my minor in history, and I haven't regretted it. I mean, I just knew that's what I love to do, and I just, you know, every day I've always enjoyed going to school, always enjoyed working at, on the field, and so I guess that's kind of it. Just grew up being around sports, loving sports, and knowing I want to spend the rest of my life around it.
You know, when you left, when you graduated from Auburn, your first job was at Randolph County High School. Tell us a little bit about how that job came about and your time there.
Well, Randolph County High School was my first job, and I'll always thank them for allowing me to get that opportunity. But a lot of coaches don't know, except the old ones like me, and you probably know it too, but there was really only one big coaching clinic, and that was always at the end of the summer. It was at University of Alabama hosted it.
Yep.
And it was, you know, a great clinic every year. And you probably remember that, don't you, Mark?
I do, buddy. I do.
And so I didn't have a job. I still had not gotten a job, and I got there. And there was always a big giant board that ever I put their name on. Either they were looking for coaches or coaches looking for jobs. Right. You know, I mean, it was a big board too, as you could imagine. And so I didn't have a job, so I put my name up there. Well, my old coach, Coach Tom Calvin, saw me there, found out I was looking for a job. I came up on my own by myself. I'll never forget this too. I love Coach Calvin, and everybody that's ever played for him does, but he put me in his room, made me stay with him, wouldn't let me get a room of my own. So we talked all night about so many different things, brought back memories. But anyway, he sent his coaches out the next day on the job hunt for me, trying to find different coaches, you know, that might need a coach. And as it turned out, Ron Waters, who was also a Sylacauga guy, had just lost a coach as he was had came to the clinic, and he was looking for one. So we got together, got hooked up, and Ron hired me. And, you know, I'm ever, you know, endeavored to Ron because he gave me my first opportunity. And believe me, I learned a lot from Ron. I was assistant football and assistant basketball. And, you know, everybody knows Ron's an outstanding football coach and outstanding man, too. So I learned a lot from him, and he gave me my first opportunity. I'll never forget it.
You know, that telling that story that back in the day, John, that's the way things were done, you know, word of mouth got, you know, for especially legendary coaches like Tom Calvin, they knew everybody and they wanted to help their own. And that's how things got done. You know, at that clinic went on for years. I remember going to it back in the 80s, you know, going to that clinic and talking to coaches all the way around there. But that was a lot of fun back then, but that's how people got started. We got about a minute and a half to 2 minutes left in this segment, John. Tell us a little bit, and if we get if the music starts, we'll continue the next segment. But after that, you left and went to Villa Rica. Tell us a little bit about what moved you there.
Well, opportunity to go to Villa Rica is a bigger school. I loved it, Wheat Alley, but I don't know. It was just an opportunity, something different. I was in Georgia at that time. Honestly, they were paying a little bit more in Georgia's teaching salaries than in Alabama. And I just felt like it was just a different move. I just wanted to experience it. And I enjoyed it there. I got hired by a coach named Kenny Palmer. Spent 2 years there, had a great time, great experience, and I was always glad that I can say I spent 2 years there.
You know, after that, we're going to talk about this in the next segment. We got about 1 minute left, John. John came back to Alabama and came right down the street from Sylacauga and Alexander City at Benjamin Russell. Came back there in 1983, I believe it was, John. Is that right?
That's correct.
And came back and worked, and I think the head coach at that time was Don Roberts, who was the head coach.
Yes, Don hired me, gave me my first job, and he was, you know, outstanding coach and a great man too. But I was very fortunate to get that job.
Well, that was, you know, that's where John and I met. We're going to talk about that in the next segment, about some times we had coaching with Coach Savarese and Coach Willie Carl Martin and Dwight Busby and Gary Powell and just a bunch of great guys that were on that staff back in those days. And that was right before John left it and went to Leroy. But when we get back, John, we'll talk about our days at Benjamin Russell together and then your journey as a head football coach. Come back, be right back in about 2 or 3 minutes with the Prep Sports Report and John Blackman.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. We're happy you're with us. We have John Blackman on the line on our Legend segment for today, and we have been talking, John, about your early career, leaving, graduating from Auburn and going to Randolph and Villa Rica. Now you've gotten to Benjamin Russell High School in 83. Tell us about your years there at Benjamin Russell and kind of what that was like and how you grew as a coach during those years.
Well, it was a great opportunity for me. At that time, and still is, Benjamin Russell, as we know, because you were there for so long, is an outstanding high school and a great city to live in. And so, and you know, 30 miles from my hometown, my parents were still living in Sylacauga. So it was kind of a no-brainer to take that job. And, you know, the time I was there, of course, it was a big jump as far as the size of the school and the quality of the football. But, you know, I had a great experience there, like you talked about a while ago. Don hired me, and always appreciated that. And then Steve came in, and boy, at that time, we had a great staff, and I think it was, what, six of us on the staff. Yeah. Of course, you got hired, but Mark, I was the only coach on the staff that wasn't tenured, so you know what that means.
You got to do a lot of work.
I was put it like this, I was making a resume out, I'll leave it at that. But I'll never that's a true story, okay?
I
learned how to make a resume out. So anyway, so I sat down, you know, Steve talked to every one of us, you know, hired you, but talked to all of us, Steve Savarese. And he told me, I'll never forget it, he said, look, he said, I know you're not tenured, but he said, I'm going to give you a year. And after a year, I'll let you know whether or not I'm going to allow you to stay on the staff. I told him that's fair enough, so. Fortunately, after that year, he decided to let me hang around, and so and it, you know, we had a great time. We had a great staff. You know,
like you named the names a while ago, but we worked hard. Steve was an outstanding coach to work for, as you know. I hadn't got to tell you that. You worked many years under him also, but learned a lot of football under Steve, a lot of organization, but we had a great time. We had a lot of good men. There were no egos involved. I mean, we just got along so well and had a lot of success, and it's some of the best times of my life.
Well, that kind of those years launched you into your head coaching career, and you started at Leroy, and over the years combined 51-21 record, and your 1993 team was 13-1. John, tell us about your years at Leroy and the success you had there.
Well, I had applied for a couple places and did not get the job. And Leroy was kind of in a tough situation. They had just lost their coach, and they were looking to hire somebody. Then they thought they had somebody hired and it didn't work out. So they were scrambling, and they called Grove Hill, Clark County, and kind of asked them who was somebody that they had that they didn't hire that they, felt like might have a chance, but, do a good job. And so I got a call and wanted me to come interview. I'll never forget, you and Steve came out to the tennis court. We run a tennis tournament, and y'all took over running it, if you remember that.
I do.
And so I went and called them. I bet you do, because y'all had like three problems. I remember y'all told me the next day. A lot tougher running that tournament than y'all realized, did you?
Absolutely, but I didn't want to do it again.
I know. So anyway, so I went and called them and went down for an interview on Tuesday. The board hired their school board, Washington County Board of Education, hired me on Thursday. And, I was the head coach, so it was kind of a whirlwind. And I went down, as you remember, the next couple of weeks and started and did spring practice and stayed down there 3 weeks and did spring practice. But, Mark, I came again to tell you, that obviously how much I love being there. But, they gave him my first opportunity, took a chance on a young coach with no coaching experience. And, quite honestly, the first 2 years, I know Steve and I drove down there, and, he took me down and we talked to his people and looked around, and then on the way back, he told me, he says, John, you're going to find out more about head coaching that you do not really understand exactly what's going to go into it until you become a head coach. And he was certainly right. The coaching on the field is the same, as you know, yeah, but it's all the things that goes on off the field that you have to deal with as a head coach. But so we first couple of years, we had losing records, and then I never forget, we had a big win at against Washington County High School, one of my big rivals, and we went 9-1 that season. But those people, the people at Leroy, they love the high school football. They love the high school sports. I had such a great time. They were so supportive. It was those 6 years of my life were six of the best years I've ever had. And, I can't even begin to tell. And I tell you what, I had two assistant coaches, Larry Massey and James Ray Sullivan, who had both been head coaches, and they helped guide me along the way also. I can promise you that without those two, I don't know if I'd have made it either, because they were both outstanding coaches, but they also kind of helped me with a lot of things off the field as far as managing being a head coach. And it was just a great experience, and it was a very difficult decision I had to make when I left there, because I loved it so much. And it was tough to make a decision, but it was hard to pass up the opportunity to come back home and come back to my, old school. And, of course, my parents were still living. They were still in Sylacauga, so it was a decision I knew I had to make, but it was a decision I kind of hated to make. And that would probably have been the only school that I would have taken another job at, Mark, because, really it was such a great job I had at Leroy and such great people to be around.
Well, it was. I remember calling you one time, John, it was a Saturday morning, and y'all had won a big game, and I gave you a call, and I said, "Everything going good, buddy?" And he said, "This is what you told me." I'll never forget this. He said, "Mark, I'm sitting out here looking over the cotton field behind my house, drinking a cup of coffee, feeling mighty good this morning. I'll never forget that. I was like, I can just see you doing that. And I was thinking, yeah, John's in his place. But then, yeah, you did. You had to come home. You know, Mama called, as Coach Bryant said, you know, and wanted you to come back home to Sylacauga. And you came back. And I know the early years there at Sylacauga were a little tough. But, man, you got that thing turned around. And we got about 2 minutes in this segment. John, tell us about when you first came back to Sylacauga and how all that transpired.
Well, when I first came back to Sylacauga, they had had a lot of success. Don Flippo had done a great job. But, you know, sometimes things happen. And so I got the opportunity to come back and you know, like you said, we'd gone 13-1 my last year at Leroy, lost in the semifinals, and you know, that was a heartbreaker. I got beat 7-0. Of course, you know, as a head coach, sometimes unfortunately those games like that stick with you really more than the ones that you win. But anyway, when I got the opportunity to come back, I never forget. And I got there, and of course a lot of people were there that I knew and grown up with, and so that was good also. They all came and talked to me periodically, but it was a tough situation. And like I said, we'd gone 13-1 in that first year. We went 0-10. So when you think you're a pretty good football coach, all of a sudden you turn around and say, "Now wait a minute." So we just decided. I know Tim Posey and I. He was my hire that I got to hire one person, hitting Tim Posey, who was an outstanding football coach and a great man. But anyway, we sat down and decided we had to do something. So what we did, we went and talked to all to people all over the state about the Wing T offense. And so we put it in, and then we switched from a 4-4 we had run when I was at Leroy, for the 4-3 in, and just kind of fed our personnel better. And so we were all 0-10. We lost our first two games in the second season. Matter of fact, one of them was to you, Mark, best I remember, correct?
Yeah, hang on, buddy. Don't forget where you're at. We're going to start that back in just a minute. We're going to take a little break. Coming back with John Blackman on the Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Got to let that music go just for a second. I know John Blackman knows some Boss Gags. I know he does. You know some Boss Gags, John? John?
Yes.
You listen to Boss Gags, don't you?
Yo, I love Bob Skaggs. You better believe it, okay?
I knew you did.
I've seen Boz in concert twice.
There you go, baby. See? See? All right, John, we were getting into
the lowdown, Mark.
The lowdown, baby. Believe it, they give me a hard time about Boz Skaggs around here, but that's all right. Tell us a little bit now. You're getting into Sylacauga, and you've left Leroy and gone to Sylacauga, getting started there, and it's kind of rough at first, but, man, you got that thing turned around and just had a fabulous career at Sylacauga High School.
Well, like I said, we went 0-10 my first year, and, boy, that was tough. We lost a lot of close games and just seemed to get over the hump. And started 0-2 the second year, and, boy, it was, you know, we were just trying to figure things out. And then our third game, we were behind at halftime, 28-7. We came back and won that football game, and as wild a celebration you could imagine. The students went over there and rolled the trees across the street. And anyway, you know, you just need a win somewhere, somehow. Every program is trying to get things turned around. And everybody knows this as a head coach. You need something, that big win, to kind of get things turned around. And that was it for us at Sylacauga. And we went on and made the playoffs that year and then just propelled it after that. You know, got, you know, a little bit better each year, and you know, we end up having a nice run there. But it was, you know, a great time. Enjoyed it. Had a great staff. You know, and then, as you know, I mean, you always helps a lot to, as you, the number of players that you have great players can make great teams. You know that, Mark. Yep. And so we end up getting a lot of good players. I had an outstanding staff and really had a great time. I enjoyed a lot of success. Went 9-1 the next year. Then we went undefeated. Lost both years in the playoffs to Blount, and they just had outstanding football teams those last 2 years. Oh yeah, they were outstanding, and of course they went on and won state championships. And but those were some really good years. Stayed there as a head coach at Sylacauga for 10 years. Enjoyed every minute of it. It was a great situation, great community. Hometown and everything else, and went to Jackson, spent 4 years at Jackson, loved it there, had a great time at Jackson High School, and came back and as an assistant coach at Sylacauga. And stayed as an assistant coach, got hired by Matt Griffith, who I worked under him until I retired. And then after I retired, I just decided I want to, stay around it. So I've been working with I call it junior high, but now it's called the middle school, as everybody does now, middle school football team the last few years, and substitute teach some also. But the years at Sylacauga, very special. You know, my parents were still living then. I never forget my daddy would come to practice every day. He'd sit on the back bench, and kids really got to know him. They'd always speak to him coming out to practice, and I guess one of the great moments in my life is when, after one of my undefeated seasons, our football team had all signed the football and got my daddy in the dressing room and presented the football to him at the end of our last game against B.B. Comer. And I still have that football today on my counter and in my trophy case over here, or the case I have on my and it just, that was a very, very, very special moment. I mean, my daddy, it was very, it meant a lot to him also, as you could imagine.
There's no doubt. What a story that is. You know, it's one of the things we were going to do before, today we're honoring Father's Day and our fathers, and we were going to ask you a question, but I don't need to ask you now. You just told the story, and that's a great one, pal. But I will tell you this, that game that you had, the turnaround game, was against me. Thank you for bringing that up and hurting my heart right there. Yes, dadgummit. We were ahead. In fact, we went into halftime. I think we were ahead. Y'all may have scored right before halftime, and it was 21-7. And then we scored on the first play of the second half on a toss sweep.
There you go. That's right. I forgot about that. Y'all got ahead 28-7. That's right. Yeah.
And then after that, it was like the floodgates opened. We could not stop them. Could not stop them, no matter what we did. And I look back on that game and I think, what did I do wrong? And I think I think we got tired, to be honest with you. I think our kids, we had a lot of kids playing both ways, and y'all had a good little football team. But man, they got that motor running and the momentum got going, and we could not shut it off. And I'll never forget sitting over there watching it happen. We couldn't stop y'all. And that was pretty exciting. That was really demoralizing for us. But at the same time, it was a great win for your team and your program and your community. Everybody got really excited, and then y'all went on and had a really nice season that year. And that kind of got – and you're right, it got things turned around for y'all there.
Well, I can never – I'll always remember that game. And people know how much I love the Wayne T football around here. The coaches kid me all the time. But we finally learned how to run the buck sweep a little bit. And they always tell me today, they said, what play you want to run, coach? We don't even run the wing tee on the junior high anymore. I said, yeah, I know what play I want y'all to put in. That's the buck sweep. But anyway, that wing tee is really, I could talk about it. It's a tough offense. And kind of once we learn how to really operate it and run it, it's tough offense. And I still think today, things switch around, Mark. Well, I do. Nobody sees a wing tee offense. If somebody was running it today, really the true wing tee offense, they'd have a lot of success.
Yeah, they would. We played last year in the state championship game against Mars Hill, and they were running wing tee, and it's true wing tee. And the thing about it is, nobody gets under center anymore. So everything is in the shotgun. So you don't face the quick trap, you know, or the strong side belly, the down. You don't face that. And so
the down and a quick trap, that's right. You lose that if you're not under center. That's correct.
And so your linebacker fits are a little bit different. And, man, when all of a sudden we went from seeing nothing but gun and power, G, and off tackle and counters and to the wing T, and it was a little bit different for us. But, you know, they and Mars Hill did a great job running it, you know, and, you know, John Mothershed's helping them with their offensive line, and you know what a wing T guru he is. And so they did a good job with it.
That's funny that you say that, because John is one of the people that we talk to. But I tell you, the guy really, Mark, that Tim and I talked to, we talked to several people about the wing T, was Tandy Gerald.
Yes.
He was the one that really made more sense to us, because we actually had run it in the spring, but the numbering system and everything, as you know, is totally different. He has said, look, coaches, look, guys, just keep your same numbering system,
right.
Adjust it to the plays itself. And so Tim and I talked about it, and I said, well, that makes a lot. Two old coaches like us, it's a lot easier for us to learn that. Kids picked it up a lot better than we did when we ran it in the spring. But Coach Gerald really was, as you know, and of course, Mothershed was kind of his somebody who he had worked under Coach Gerald and took his place at Deschler. But
right.
Those two we talked to, and they really helped us a lot put it in. But you're right, Mothershed, he's an outstanding football coach.
John, if you look back throughout your career as a head football coach, do you have a certain game or a certain play that you'll never forget that was kind of like something that was the most meaningful game, or something in your career that you look back on that you just, you know, always – I mean, I know I do. I have one like that when we were playing at Bayside. We beat Gordo one night, and that was a game I'll never forget. But do you have a game like that you could share with us?
Well, the game, I think, you know, I can think of different places I've been. The one I talked about earlier at Leroy, when we beat Washington County, and they were an outstanding football team. They had been for a long time. And for us to go in there and upset them, we went 9-1 that year, so that probably helped turn our program around. At Sulacaga, I hate to bring it up again,
yeah,
but obviously the game against Chillsburg was a big one. But probably one of the most famous games around here is what we call the Mud Bowl. That's what everybody calls the Mud Bowl. We went and played an outstanding Greenville football team. We were undefeated, and they were undefeated in one of the worst conditions you could ever imagine. And that's why it was called the Mud Bowl. I mean, it was so bad, Mark, that they had the officials, this is the truth, had to almost hold the ball down before the center came, because there was so much water and mud and stuff on the field that they were afraid it might move. And so anyway, but they get down, and we're 11 to 8. We're up by 4 points, so they couldn't kick a field goal. So anyway, they get on the goal line. We have a young man, I'll never forget, Matt Foshi. They had run option play, get it out there, and his special score. And Matt grabs his face mask and tackles him with his face mask. So I would get a penalty, so that moves the ball inside the 2-yard line, first and goal. And we were able to hold them on the goal line stand, and caught, ran out on them. They couldn't get the fourth down playoff, and, you know, we ended up winning that game.
Wow.
And, you know, that was a second round game, and we went on and made the semifinals that year. And, you know, people, I still got a picture of that game after the game where the players were celebrating, and you could just see the mud all over them. We still caught the Mud Bowl today. And, you know, we had people coming out of the stands after that game, just, you know, teachers and students and stuff, who literally were just getting in the mud and just, I don't know. I guess that was one of the most enjoyable wins and memorable wins that not only that I had, but probably this community had also. It was a great win for us and a great game. And I tell you, they had an outstanding football team. They were very, very good. Matter of fact, the head coach, Gene Allen. I know you know Gene, don't
yep,
you?
Yep, yep.
He was a head football coach then. He was an excellent football coach also. But that was a great win for us at Sulacaga.
John, I cannot tell you how much I've enjoyed these last 45 minutes with you. Thank you for taking time out of your Saturday to spend with us. We appreciate you, and I look forward to seeing you soon, pal.
All right. Thank you, Mark, very much. You know, I love you.
Love you too, buddy.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile, is the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
Once again, let's talk about Father's Day, Father's Day weekend. To me, it's a big deal. You know, it was one of the things that has been impressed upon me throughout my life. The most important job that I have in this world today, and has been for a long time, is be a father. And there's no written guideline for it. There's not, except for what you can find in the scripture. One of the things in the scriptures in Proverbs 22:6 is, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's very true. Not easy to do. You can tell a kid a lot of things. You can tell them all day long. Are you able to show them? Can you walk the walk, as they say, instead of just talk the talk? It's two different entities all in and of itself. So many times I can tell you what you should do, but am I able to do that as a father, as a husband, as a coach? Am I able to do that? You know, as we go through our lives, we always try to learn things that we learned growing up. I can tell you right now, I learned a lot from my dad. I learned a whole lot from him, and I didn't want to admit it back when I was 16 years old, because I thought my dad may be the dumbest human on the planet at that time. About probably 8 years later, I realized Dad may have been the smartest man that ever lived on this planet, because what he told me was true. He may not have told it the way I wanted to hear it, but he told it to me anyway. You know, growing up, there are a lot of things that I remember that my dad believed in. The greatest lesson my dad ever taught me was how to work and how to love. Those are the two things. How to love your family. As I look at our families today, our extended family, my brothers and my sister, I look at those families and I go, yeah, my dad and mom, both of them, but today's Father's Day, so we're going to stick with Dad. Dad taught us the value of family. As I look at my brothers and my sister's family and my own family, they're very similar. The kids love one another. They get along. They come see us. They visit. They do things together. You know, the cousins, when they get together, they all hang out. They talk. They do things together. And they live in different cities and in different states. But when they get together, it's like they were 6 years old again. And they're all just hanging out, having a good time. The reason for that is didn't just happen. It was taught through a love of family and a desire for our families to be Christ-like and to follow the teachings of God and Jesus, and teach us how to be the kind of people we are supposed to be. So what was the greatest lesson Dad taught? Love your family. To me, that was the number one. Number two was work. He taught us how to work. Now, that's just something innate. And my dad was one of those guys who grew up chopping cotton, you know, all the time. They lived on a big farm in Gadsden, Alabama, or outside of Gadsden, a little area known as Coates Bend, in the bend of the Coosa River. And on either side of my granddaddy's house was my great-grandparents. Both of them, one lived on one side and the other one lived on the other side, and all of them had property. Each one of them, they all had land, and they had cows, and they had horses, and they had crops and huge gardens. I remember my daddy taught me to work in the garden as a kid, and I hated it. I absolutely despised it because that garden was over an acre, and get out there and hoe out the peat every day. I hated to see school in the summer. I wanted to go to school. I wanted to go back and sit in the classroom instead of getting out there with that dadgum hoe and hoe out them peas or pick okra and get stinging all over your arms. And then, of course, the ever-present snakes that were always running around there. But that was Dad's life. That's what he knew. And he grew up doing it. It did teach me a little bit because when I went to Alabama, one of the coaches found out I knew how to grow tomatoes and peppers. And in the bullpen, outside behind the pitcher's mound in the bullpen, there was five tomato plants and two pepper plants for Coach Nethro, who said he gave me a job on work study, but I had to grow a garden out there for him. And you couldn't do that today. And not in that stadium, but back then you could. We had them out there way in the corner where nobody could see it. But yeah, but that's the things my dad taught us how to work, and he taught us how to love. And he taught us integrity and faith and resilience. He taught us to show up for others. At his 80th birthday party, I remember there was lots and lots of people that came, and the resounding factor that came through was that, you know, Uncle Dwayne or Dwayne, my friend, or Dad, you were always there for us, always. That is something that I'll never forget. My favorite memory with me and my dad, quail hunting in Coates Bend. I was about 17, 18 years old, and we went quail hunting. We had a bird dog, and Dad had told me all about quail hunting and when he was growing up and what it was like. And sure enough, we go out there. We come across a fence row, and the dog points, and Dad was like, walk up slow, walk up to the right, don't turn, face forward the whole time. He said, they're going to come up, and they're going to scare you to death when they come off the ground because they make a lot. Sure enough, there were 15 in that covey. They came up, and guns went off. My dad, my uncle, myself, I shot my first quail. My dad hugged me and kissed me on my cheek, and he was like, that was awesome, son. That was awesome. And I'll never forget that. So, folks, hug your dad if you can. Make a thought for your dad if you can't. Let them all know that you love them. Dads, enjoy your day. It's a wonderful time to be a father. And it's a wonderful opportunity to be the best version of yourself for your children. And I say that to myself more than anybody else. Steve, thank you for helping me get through this show. The Third String is about to sign off for today. We've had a great show. We had some great folks on. John Blackman, thank you for being with us. Keith Smith from Snook Academy, thank you for being with us. Catherine Spurgeon from Green and Phillips with the Tennis Player of the Year. Jeff Williams shared a story. Ann Schilling shared a story about their dads. Thank you. Thank you all for sharing this Father's Day edition of Sports Report with us. We look forward to seeing you again here next week, same time, same bat channel, as I said on Bat Man years ago. Thank y'all for joining us. Have a great week, y'all.